Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Nice to see all of you this morning. How's everybody doing today? Give me thumbs up, or if you're doing terrible, go like that, all right? Or if it's like, go like this, whatever. How's everybody doing? Plumbing issues, right, Jacob? Oh, we'll pray for the Gregories. Nice to see everybody. Nice to see you online, those that are joining us this morning. And two of my favorite people, the Donkers, are here in person. We've got lots of seats. Oh, yeah, right. Wow, rookie move, okay. Rookie move or an old-timer move? Okay, anyways, thank you for your grace. All I see is the guys are working hard up there. Give these guys a hand up there. They're going like this, and I had no idea. I'm like, I think my mic's on because I'm pretty loud, and I can hear myself talk. So just want to share just a few little odds and ends, even in regards to youth. The last 2 weeks, we've been on Zoom, which is, it's not as good as being in person. So this week, we hope to be in person on Wednesday. The other thing is we have hired Amanda Stensrud as our intern. So let's give a hand to that. Really excited about things that we'll be able to accomplish with some help. And we're going to start a craft club this week. All our events, even our pizza drop-off, we had to postpone because of health difficulties in the Comox Valley. Our pizza drop-offs at the schools, we postponed them. Some of them are happening this week, but you need to register them online. And what service you get, I come to your school and I drop pizza off. And I've had such a great time doing that over the last few weeks. And I get pizza for lunch, so it's awesome. And John Petty's been joining me with that, and it's something we really enjoy. So stay tuned for that. We've got a homeschool lunch on Wednesday. Get all our homeschool students here, and we just get to eat together. Let's just pray. And I just really feel that we just need to pray for our loving church overseas, over at Northgate, over in Courtney. And let's just pray and ask God to prepare our heart. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the Christmas season, and thank you for the awesome worship that we had with the Sedans and the Guyton-Beaks. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will be our peace today. Lord, that you will give me peace. Lord, that you will fill my voice with your words. And Lord, we pray for our friends. We pray for our Christian friends over at Northgate. Lord, that you pray that you be with them. Lord, be with Evan as there's been some challenges. Lord, speak to him. Lord, we thank you for doing such a great work in our community of churches, and we're so thankful for them. So Lord, just guide me and guide our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we've got a few seats left over, so if you're watching online, come and join us. All right, you could sit by the Donkers. There's one seat left by Anton, all right? So, I want to welcome you this morning to the start of our new series, Come to the Manger. Come to the Manger. Did you guys know that we have 20 more sleeps till Christmas? 20 more sleeps! I feel like Buddy the Elf right now, because I could start screaming. I'm excited to give presents to my kids and my wife. Who's excited for Christmas? Double hands. Okay. Okay, so 20 more sleeps. Can you, we've been looking forward to this so much. We've been watching all these Hallmark movies that have the same storyline every night, you know, like who's with me here? Well, there's a film that's from a Charles Dickens novel called Little Dorrit. And this film is in two segments. It's very long. You may have watched it. These two films aren't in sequence. Each film shows a whole story, but from a different point of view. The first half, you see the story through the eyes of a hero, and in the second story, you see the eyes through another character of the story. A few of the scenes are identical, but in the second half, you understand many things that weren't clear the first time around. It's like seeing a movie with two eyes instead of one. Have you tried that before? Watching a movie with two eyes instead of one? No, just kidding. I'm going to buy you coffee this week, Joanne. You fill the room, Joanne. It's like seeing a movie with two eyes instead of one. This gives the audience a real chance to understand the whole dramatic story through the eyes of more than one person. The reason why I say this is the story of Jesus' birth in Matthew's gospel is seen through the eyes of Joseph, which we'll be looking through today. And in Luke's gospel, we see it through the eyes of Mary. There's no attempt to bring them into line. The central fact is the same. But instead of Luke's picture of this excited Galilean girl learning that she would give birth to the Messiah, Matthew shows us this very sobering Joseph, discovering the fact that his wife is pregnant. The only point where these two stories come close is when the angel says to Joseph, and Gabriel said to Mary, what does he say? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. These are important words as we read the accounts of Christ's birth. Do not be afraid. Many of us even here this morning joining us online maybe need to hear that. Do not be afraid. Maybe there's things that are going on in life. Maybe there's sickness. Maybe there's lack of jobs. Maybe something's happening in our context, in our world. Do not be afraid. As I was praying and preparing for my message, I was led to a dreamer, and that was Joseph. Not in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. And this morning, I'm going to focus on three dreams that Joseph had and how he responded that played a key role in the story of the birth of Jesus. How about we turn our Bibles? Let's hear all those Bibles that people brought or their phones. But if you're texting, we have secret agents around to see if you guys are going online on your phone, checking football scores, and all right. So let's read from chapter 1, verse 19 of Matthew, all right? Or 18, sorry. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So marriage here, marriage back then involved three basic steps. The families agreed to this union, right? Just like when I picked up the phone that scary day and I called Mr. Siska. And I loved Mr. Siska. Mr. Siska was my wife's father. I phoned her father, and it wasn't just her father who picked up, it was her mother as well. And I said, Mom and Dad, I love your daughter, and I would like to ask your daughter for her hand in marriage. Could I get your approval? How many of you enjoyed that opportunity to do that with a dad? Okay, am I the only one? Okay. Not Pastor Mike. Uh-oh. Second, a public announcement was made, right? You put it on Facebook. They put it on Facebook. 1,000 likes, all those good things. Instagram, they even had secret paparazzi hiding in the bush to get the view of the bride-to-be, right? The couple would now be engaged. But what's interesting with this, the only way that the engagement could be broken was by death or divorce, even though sexual relations were not yet permitted. Let's look at some engagement announcements. I'm going to age myself. We've all looked at the newspaper when we were, maybe when you were younger. Don't have a lot of younger people here right now. But let's look at some announcements that were made, engagement. So we've got McDonald Burger. Hey, okay, church, okay. You guys are a little bit slow on the laughing. Either like these aren't funny or I'm not funny today. But I want to encourage you that as Christians, it's good to laugh, right? It's good to laugh. So we've got McDonald Burger, a beautiful relationship. You could just tell. Went Attaway. Went Attaway. I know some of these pictures are kind of grainy. And the poor sap. We have the poor saps, yes. What else do we have? More bacon. Come on now. Yes, more bacon. That's what we need, more bacon. And what we have? House wrecker. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a little bit of a dicey one. I hope they're still together. I wish I had before and after, right? And sharp pain. All right. Look at that beautiful couple, the sharp pains. All right. And third, the couple would be married and begin living together. That's an exciting part about getting married. You get to start having a family. You get to start having sleepovers. Am I right? There's a great part of the enjoyment about having being married. The tricky part here was that because these two were engaged, Mary's apparent unfaithfulness carried a severe stigma. A severe social stigma. According to Jewish law, Joseph had the right to divorce her at the moment, and Jewish authorities could also have had her stoned to death. So why was a virgin birth important to Christian faith? Jesus, God's son, had to be free from the sinful nature passed down from Adam. Because Jesus was born of a woman, he was a human being. But as the Son of God, Jesus was born without any trace of sin, of human sin. Jesus is both fully human and fully divine. Because Jesus lived as a man, we know that he fully understands the things that you and I struggle with. He knows the anxieties, he knows the fears, he knows the pains. The struggles. And because of that, he has the authority to deliver us from sin. We could tell Jesus our thoughts, our hurts, our feelings, and he has the ability to help us. He has the ability to help us of our hurts, our pains, our things that we're fearful of. Let's read verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to what? To divorce her quietly. Now, why do you think it would be quietly? Joseph faced a difficult choice after discovering that Mary was pregnant. He thought that he only had two choices, and the two choices were to divorce or to have her killed. But God gave the third option. He gave a third option to marry Mary, okay? And this was an option that Joseph had even been considering. But don't you find that God often gives us more options than we think at times? How many times in life, I'm either going to do this or I'm going to do that? I'm either going to do this or I'm going to do that. Many times, but do we allow God to give his thoughts? God had a third option, and this was an option that Joseph wasn't even considering. Doing this, he would cast doubt on his own innocence regarding this pregnancy. What are people going to think? But Joseph chose to obey the angel's command. It is a great example that we should always allow God to speak into our decisions, to speak into our choices, things that affect our family, things that affect others. It's a great example of allowing God to speak into those decisions. How many of us have made decisions just based on what we want? Many times in life. And a lot of times, it doesn't lead to the greatest results, does it? Let's go through the first dream. The first dream is found in chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because, okay, this is quite an interesting two verses, am I right? It has a lot of stuff jam-packed in these verses. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from our sins. He will save his people from their sins. You know, conception and the birth of Jesus are supernatural events beyond any human or logic possible. Am I right? And because of this, God sent his angels to help certain people understand the significance of what is happening. These angels, who were spiritual beings created by God, who help carry out his work on earth. Here, an angel declares to Joseph that Mary's child was conceived by the Holy Spirit and would be a son. What would it be like having that dream? What a gender reveal, eh? Like, I don't know if you've noticed on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube, all these gender reveals that are coming out. And, you know, you get this baseball that when you hit it with the bat, it explodes into, like, pink or blue. You get hockey pucks that you hit with your stick and it explodes. Like, this is the ultimate gender reveal, isn't it? You're told you're going to have a baby boy and his name is going to be Jesus and that he will save people from their sins. I remember when we went through our gender reveal. 18 years ago, my son's 17. Oh, I'm going to put you on the spot because I can, all right? I remember we were living in Logan Lake. We didn't have a lot of money, but the only way to get to find out the gender of our baby, Kim and I were really excited. We had to go to Langley, okay? We had to go to Langley and we had to go get an ultrasound. And this is before the days of, you know, everybody can find out, right? From your doctor. So we drove this 8-hour round trip. Kim and I were really excited. We're like, oh, what kind of clothes, you know, what color clothes are we going to get? What color of paint are we going to paint our kids' room? And we got the ultrasound done, or Kim deserves all the credit. And guess what? Noah being Noah-like, he was decided to be difficult that day. And he was aimed the other way, so they couldn't see any of the parts that people could tell if it was what gender it was. So we didn't find out. That was our hoping to be a gender reveal. This revealed an important truth about Jesus, that he was both human and God. And what does Jesus mean? What does Jesus mean? The Lord saves. Jesus came to save us because we can't save ourselves from our sin. No matter how good you are, no matter if you're Calvin or Pastor Mike, only Jesus could do that. He came to be our Savior from the power and penalty of our sin. Jesus would fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, for he would be Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was God in flesh. Thus, God was literally among us, with us. Through the Holy Spirit, Christ is present in every believer. What would it be like if we actually believed Emmanuel? What would it look like in our life, our day-to-day context, in our home, at our work, at our school, if we believed Emmanuel, if we believed that God was with us? I asked the kids that in Kids Zone, and their answers went a little bit like this. We'd be a lot more happy. We wouldn't be worried. We wouldn't be fearful. We wouldn't be scared. We'd make better choices. I love kids' ministry. You get some really great answers. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did not do what the angel of the Lord said. No, it says he did what the angel of the Lord said. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Joseph changed his plans pretty quick. When he found out that Mary wasn't unfaithful to him, he was obedient to God and proceeded with the marriage plans. That was plan C, a plan that he hadn't even considered. He did this even though others may not have agreed with his decision, but Joseph did what he felt was right. And sometimes we avoid doing what is right because of how people are going to look at us. How many times in my life have I chose to please people rather than please God? That I've made a decision because it's something people wanted rather than I know what God wanted. I'm sure if I asked for hands, many of you would probably say the same. I remember being in high school of a kid that just tried to make good decisions, but at times wanted to fit in so bad. And I made bad decisions based on what I knew would get acceptance from the wrong crowd. That was me. But we need to choose to obey God rather than seeking approval of man. And that's what Joseph did. And so thankful for that. Let's do a summary of chapter 2, 2 to 12. The Magi visit the Messiah. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. King Herod sends the Magi to go out and carefully search for this child. When they were to find him, they were to report back and says that he would go worship him. They find him. They're overjoyed. They bow down. They worship the baby. They presented gifts to the baby as well. But having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Second dream is found in chapter 2, verse 13, if you could read along with me. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in another dream. He said, get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Now put yourself in Joseph's shoes, all right? Or sandals, or if you're on the island, Birkenstocks, okay? This was his second dream that Joseph received from the angels. His first dream was that Mary's child would be the Messiah to choose marriage. His second dream was to show how to protect the child's life. Although Jesus was not Joseph's natural son, he was Jesus' legal father who was responsible for the safety and the well-being of this Messiah, this son. Again, for the second time, the angel of the Lord is mentioned. Here, God takes sovereign action to preserve his Messiah, his son. I love that. And Egypt was a natural place to flee. Verse 14, so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. See, going to Egypt wasn't unusual because there were colonies of Jews in Egyptian cities. The colonies were developed during the great captivity found in Jeremiah 43 and 44. Here, the angel's command was urgent. Joseph wasn't supposed to just do it in time, but they were to remain there not only till Herod's death, but till given leave to return. This command was urgent. Joseph went at once. They set out by night to begin their 75-mile journey to the border. The focus on God's protection of this child was unmistakable. Herod was trying to kill him, so Joseph took his family to safety. Verse 16, when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. Herod, king of the Jews, killed all the boys under the age of two to form a very aggressive plan to kill Jesus, and wasn't successful. This newborn king. See, Herod was the king by human appointment, but Jesus was the king by divine appointment. Herod was afraid that this newborn king would want to take over his throne. Herod completely misunderstood the reason for Christ's coming. He didn't want Herod's throne. He wanted to be the king of Herod's life. Church, he wants to be the king of your life as well. He wanted to be the king of Herod's life. Joseph shows divine guidance. There's divine guidance that only comes through prepared hearts. Joseph was in tune to God's guidance. He was in tune to God's voice. He remained receptive throughout this whole journey for God's guidance. Are we receptive to God's voice today? Are we receptive to when God calls our name? You know, prayer is one of those, I remember even being a kid that, you know, prayer is just, it's easy. It's talking to God, right? That's part of it. That's part of it. But sometimes I tend to pray like that. I pray whatever, you know, whatever I want to see happen, but I don't, you know, I pray for those things that are on my heart. But there's another part of prayer that sometimes we ignore, and that's listening. You know, I like to have music going in my office all the time. I like to have noise happen around me. You may have learned that about me, but when I pray, I need to have quiet because I want to hear his voice. I want to hear, I want to feel what he's speaking to my heart about. Are we receptive to God's leading? Are we receptive to God's voice? I can appreciate Joseph in this story because he was receptive over and over and over. The third dream was to go back to Israel. The return to Nazareth. After Herod died, from verse 19, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." Here Joseph dreams again and again. It says an angel of the Lord appeared in his dream. it continues this divine initiative in the protection of this child, who again is made prominent. But this time was to leave Egypt and go back to Israel. Verse 21, so he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. I want to encourage you, you can read these chapters later on in the day. Such awesome truths. Joseph was a man of strong beliefs. He was prepared to do what was right and what was noble, despite the pain it would cause. But Joseph had another trait, a trait that we could all desire. He not only tried to do what was right, but he also tried to do things the right way. When Mary told Joseph about the pregnancy, Joseph knew that the child was not his. And Joseph still had respect for Mary's character. He loved Mary. He cared for her, even though this child was not his. He decided to break the engagement quietly, but was determined to do it in a way that was honoring to her. He acted with justice and love, characteristics that you and I could use more of. God sends a messenger to confirm Mary's story and eventually open up his heart to think about the third option, and that is to marry Mary. We do not know much about Joseph, do we? The last time we heard about Joseph was when Jesus was around 12. But we know that Joseph trained his son in carpentry. He made sure he had good spiritual training. He took his whole family to Jerusalem for Passover. And Joseph knew that his first encounter with the angel, that Jesus was going to be someone special. His strong belief and following to God's leading powered him to be Jesus's earthly father. Fathers, these are great qualities for us, right? Mothers as well, to be people of integrity, to be individuals that are sensitive to God's guidance and willing to do whatever God wants us to do, no matter the cost, no matter what our neighbors or our family or our schoolmates will think of us. No matter the cost. You know, as we prepare our hearts this month to come to the manger, there's that part when I was talking about Herod, that Jesus wants to be the kings of our heart. He wants to be the kings of your heart. The king of your hearts. Some of us might be afraid. Some of us have other things going on, but Emmanuel, that God is with us. God is with us. Let's be sensitive this week to what God is speaking to our hearts about. Have those opportunities. You know, I met in our coffee group, even about that, we were talking about the daily office. And that's something I've been trying to do. haven't been 100% at it, but the daily office was just to not just have those moments in the morning of just spending time with, say, God for like an hour and then kind of doing everything else throughout the day, but having times segmented throughout the day of times that you could spend with God, times that you could be in God's word. Have times throughout the day where you could just pray. You don't have to be loud. You just say it in your head. Let him be the king of your heart. Let's be in tune to God's guidance, just like Joseph was. I just want you to shut your eyes. Just shut your eyes. Everybody around. And we're going to, Pastor Mike's going to come in a bit to lead us in communion. I think this is a good segue, but I just want you to put your hand over your heart. And I just want you to take about 30 seconds and just ask God, what's something that's keeping you from having Jesus be the king of your heart? Is there anything in your life? Is there anything that's going on? Maybe it's a need. And after you realize if there's one thing, two things, three things, I just want you to speak to Jesus about those. Just take a little bit of time. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord, that you would let you be the king of our heart. Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, that we would hear your voice. Lord, that we won't push you aside. Lord, that we would be obedient to what you have for us. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry for all the times that I've been selfish. All the times where I've thought about making decisions, important decisions, where I haven't included you in, Lord. Help me to be different. We thank you for this story. We thank you for this example of Joseph. We're just gonna, if you can, everybody could stand. We're just gonna sing The King of My Heart, and Pastor Mike's gonna come up and lead us in communion.
Let the King of.
I'm gonna invite you to take your seat in the room and online right now. I invite you to grab your own communion supplies. In the room here, we have these little cups, and you can begin preparing right now. You can pull the top little layer, pull out the wafer, and then the next layer opens the cup for the juice. This Christmas season, we're inviting our church family, gathered and online, to come to the manger. So today, we came to the manger. Pastor Trevor drew our attention to Joseph. For many of us, you've followed the Christmas story many, many years in a row, and today, unique attention was given to Joseph. There's clues about the gospel message even as we look at Joseph. God did for Joseph what he could not do for himself. Direction. Protection. And there's echoes of the gospel right in that thought there, that for you and I, in Jesus Christ, through his life, his death, his resurrection, God does for us what we could not do for ourselves, both in terms of direction and also protection. It says in Isaiah that we all are like sheep that have gone astray. We haven't found our own way. We've tried on our own, but we find failure real well by ourselves. But a good shepherd comes in Jesus Christ to guide us, to provide us with great direction. It also says in Isaiah that through Jesus we're protected. Protected from the punishments that we deserve ourselves. So I invite you, it says in Scripture that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. Would you take the wafer and just break it? I want you to look at it. It was whole and now it's broken. When you take an honest inventory of your own life, it's really easy, I think, to spot our own brokenness. and Jesus himself, his body was broken for us. And when we take in communion together, it's a prophetic indication. It's a reminder that we ingest physically. It's a reminder not just to our souls, but to our bodies, that the brokenness we experience in our life will be made whole only and in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me give a prayer of thanks. Father, I want to thank you for your body broken for us and for those of us who in a day like today or a week like this week or a season like this one, we're just so aware of our own brokenness. Communion comes as a meal to bring us joy and hope. That though we are aware of our brokenness, we are faced with your wholeness and you apply it to our lives, so we welcome its work in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the bread together. Scripture says that in the same way, Jesus took the cup. And he said, this cup represents a new covenant. Covenant was a permanent agreement between God and man. And Jesus was taking previous covenants, bringing fulfillment to them, and offering a better and new covenant where God would take the worst of our lives, our weakness, our sin, our failure, and exchange it for his life. We drink grape juice or wine because it represents blood, and blood in our bodies represents both death and life, ironically. The cross of Jesus Christ is where his blood was shed for us, for you, for me. And in the same way that his broken body promises wholeness to you, his death promises life abundant and life everlasting. Let me pray. Father, we give you thanks. We acknowledge in this moment our spiritual weakness, our spiritual need for you. Our bodies, each of our bodies die, but we come into this world with death in our spirit already, and we need you to bring life in and throughout us. Jesus, you have promised and you have made a way through the cross and through the resurrection, and we give you thanks for that. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray together. Amen. Let's take the cup together with thanksgiving.
You are good, good.
So God, we give you thanks for all that you've done in our lives, that by your Spirit, we're made new. Father, as we go into your world on your mission, we declare our dependence upon you again. We need your Holy Spirit to fill our lives. We need your empowerment. We need your presence. We need your anointing. Father, may we carry your peace into this world. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, it's still sunny outside. I hope you can enjoy the rest of your day today. Enjoy one another. Please bring greetings to each other as you spend a bit of time together heading home and heading into your week. Come back next week to hear our kids' choir present their song. It's going to be fun.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.